Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in business, in your career, and in your life. I have two words for you today that I put together. They're compound words. Well, I think they should be compound words. Follow up, hyphen between it. That would do it. Compound words. And that's sort of what I want to sort of cover on today. So have you ever thought to yourself, hey, I should follow up with that person? Or maybe you say to another person, hey, maybe we should get together sometimes. We should follow up on that. Then time goes by and you never do. I think we all do that. Our excuse, well, maybe it is that we have no time, or we're just too busy to talk to somebody. Or, you know, are you busy? I mean, you maybe even ask that question, or you say to somebody, how busy are you? And they say, oh, I'm busy, busy. I'm very busy, 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 busy. Such a word to actually be there. But really, then time ticks away and there's just no follow-up that happens. We miss the opportunity to connect, because isn't that really what follow-up is all about connecting? I guess what I'm saying that we need to sometimes just take some time to connect with people that we haven't seen in a while. There's nothing wrong with reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, we should follow up. We should get together. You can send them an email, a text message, a phone call, even a letter. The choice is yours. Yeah, I even just used a letter, didn't I? Say a snail mail. Isn't that what it's called? I don't remember the last time I got a letter. But hey, would be nice to have one. Someone needs to take the first step, and maybe that should be you. So you might have guessed it. I'm going to talk about follow-up, or this is going to be the follow-up show today. About 5 years ago, I met this man through an event that I was attending at a local organization. And since then, we've become friends. A while ago, I had him on my show, and we discussed a variety of topics. It was really quite fun. We talked about baseball, entrepreneurship, writing, being an author, playing bridge, and even surviving a major life event. And I'm going to hold on that one and maybe find out a little bit later what that is. I've been so impressed by this man's life story. I asked him to come back and connect with me again to follow up. So I'm chatting today with John Hindle. I guess you call yourself John the contact hitter. Do I have that right? John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much for having me back, Richard.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. You know, since I said contact hitter, I think that's correct. What is the contact hitter?
Well, and because I came from baseball, it's a term in baseball.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Baseball's been very, very good to me. SNL, well, go ahead.
It certainly has for me. And a contact hitter in baseball, somebody doesn't strike out very much. They might not hit a ton of home runs, but they like to connect with the ball. And that is the type of hitter I was. I hated to strike out. So I made sure I made contact. And in the real world, like, your intro was perfect for me, because I do believe in that. I do believe in connecting with people. I really have always believed in that. But since the heart attack, since that moment on that emergency room when I thought that was it, connecting with people. Well, first of all, let me tell you, Richard, and those last moments of what I thought were the last moments of my life, that's all I thought about. That's all that came to my mind were those people in my life that had connected with me and had impacted me in some way. So if that's what you're thinking at the end, then I guess that's the most important thing.
It's a priority at the beginning, isn't it? And it's amazing. It's amazing how, I used the term before, busy, busy, busy. We get so busy, right? So we get so wrapped up in busy things that maybe we don't quite have our priorities quite right. And I don't want to judge anybody on that, but you know, I think when you talk about life events, I was holding the heart attack thing for later on.
Sorry.
And everything.
Sorry.
It's all good.
It just fit right in there.
Since we were talking about contact hitter, and I think what I'd like to do is talk to you a bit about your heart attack event a little bit later on in the show in another segment. And and it's been a while. How long ago was it that you had the heart attack?
Almost two years.
So we'll talk about later on what has changed in the last 2 years because of that. But because we started sort of with this baseball theme, I want to just, let's go with, start with the sports stuff first, right? I mean, you said you were like the contact hitter. Like, did you play major baseball or, and I should know this. I know you, but I know you've played baseball. What was that all about?
I played amateur baseball at a pretty high level. I mean, they inducted me into the Manitoba Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I could hit the ball. I love playing the game. But I never played at the professional level. In fact, when I was a kid growing up, there was not very much opportunity for Canadians to play serious baseball. At the professional level, yeah. There was like a couple. Fergie Jenkins was in Major League Baseball. And there were very few Canadians in U.S. colleges on baseball scholarships. Well, I heard last week that there are 1,000 Canadian kids playing in U.S. colleges, playing baseball in U.S. colleges. That is such an incredible turnaround, and it's partly why Canadians are more and more successful in baseball.
Okay, because the young kids are actually going and playing in American baseball in the college level?
They're playing against the top competition for their level, and they're getting that opportunity for the best coaching in the world and so on.
Out of curiosity, when you were a young man, how many baseball teams were there in Canada? Do you recall?
Well, there was the Blue Jays and the Expos.
Professionals. Yeah, I mean professional teams.
There was
When
the Goldeyes started in Winnipeg, at one point there was 19 teams in Canada that called themselves professional baseball teams.
Okay.
And during my 8 years there, that 19 dwindled to, I think, 4.
Okay.
So entire leagues folded. Like, the Goldeyes were and are still a successful minor league sports franchise. But it's not a gimme. It's not automatic. I mean, maybe minor league hockey has a better chance of being successful in Canada, I mean. But up here, you have to earn your stripes, and I think the Goldeyes did.
And the Goldeyes did. You know what? It's actually always fascinating to sort of think about baseball, because I think the Blue Jays just started off this week, too, so national sports. How's that looking right now?
Well, I just came back from Ontario. I was in Toronto for the last week, and they were a little crazy about the Raptors basketball team at the time, which was fun.
Oh, yeah, which was fine.
Lots of fun.
Yep.
But I, of course, connect with the baseball community, and I was told that baseball registration in Ontario is up because the Blue Jays were so powerful last year, because that phenomenal run in the playoffs and the excitement of the team doing well after, I don't know, 20 years. The Blue Jays do impact baseball all the way across the country, but particularly in Ontario.
Of course. I mean, that's their home team, right? The home favorite. But yeah. And it's actually quite interesting when you get momentum. Like when you talk about the Raptors and you talk about the Blue Jays, I mean, right now in professional sports, there's a little bit of momentum going on. You know what? This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll keep chatting with John Hindle a little bit about being the contact hitter and connecting with people. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan, and welcome back. And I'm chatting with John Hindle, the contact hitter. And John's been a force, I guess, in the baseball industry here in Winnipeg or in Manitoba, formerly of the Goldeyes. Prior to the break, we were talking a little bit about professional sports and baseball and the impact it's been having on the country. So can we just sort of expand on that a little bit more, John?
Well, sure. I mean, locally, I think the Goldeyes have had an impact locally in Winnipeg on baseball. But just look at the impact the Jets had in Winnipeg. I mean, the Jets in some ways changed the attitude of people in Winnipeg. And you can't go to a bar or a restaurant during a Jets game without all kinds of people being there. They changed the economic climate. Pro sports can have a big impact. There's no doubt about it. And I think everybody recognizes that. But it's personal here in Winnipeg because we lost the Jets and then got them back.
Yeah, it was very personal. I remember all of that, too, and before I sort of traveled and lived in all sorts of different places in our country. But it was really a big deal, and having them come back was great. One of the things that I've noticed is in terms of sports, if we're going to go down that road for right now, I mean, sports is really part of the event business. And the event business is huge because it really has a lot to do with, in my opinion, okay, and you correct me, it's all about event planning and then having all of that stuff ripple out from putting on really great events in your community.
Well, for sure. When, you know, at the Goldeyes, I looked at every game as we had 50 shows to do.
Yes.
Yes, there was a baseball game going on, but of those 6,000-7,000 people we were having to games, they weren't all baseball fans, but they were all fans of coming out and having affordable family entertainment.
Yeah.
And we could provide that guaranteed every single night. I couldn't guarantee you the Goldeyes were going to win, but I could guarantee you that you were going to have a good time at the ballpark. And I'm sure that's still the philosophy there, and that's what they try to do. And that's why they have so many fans. It's not that we have that many hardcore baseball fans in Winnipeg. But we have people that enjoy that type of environment.
I actually know a lot of families that buy senior tickets. Mm-hmm. Season tickets. Sorry. Maybe they do that too. Yeah. I don't know how they quite sell. But you know what? It's for that particular reason that you exactly said. I've had this conversation many, many times where during the sports seasons, whether it's hockey season or it's a baseball season, why are they actually attending? And every single one of the families always say, well, from a family perspective, it's affordable. We can do it with our kids. We can bring other people. We can go and have a good time. You know, so that's a fascinating thing. You've been involved in a lot of other things over the course of your life. I know that one of the things that you like to do in your personal life is you're a bridge player.
Well, I am. I've always liked the game. Like when I went to university, which is a long time ago, Richard, I must confess that playing bridge was a lot more fun than studying was.
And so much for homework.
But when one of my best buddies was retiring, he said, "What are we going to do? I'm not sure about this whole retirement thing or how I'm going to fill my days and so on." And I said, "Why don't we go back and play some bridge? It's just one of the things." And we did, and we loved it. We had fun, and now we've had these incredible experiences. This year, I've had so much fun playing bridge. My buddy Jeff and I went to Reno, Nevada, to play in a North American Bridge Championship. Now, I had no thought that these things even existed or that we'd ever be participating in them, but it was quite an experience. There's a little stress involved with bridge,
sure,
but it's manageable stress because I'm having fun while I'm doing it. And then last week, we have four high school friends of mine went to Toronto to the Canadian Bridge Championships. And again, it's one of those experiences that bridge is good for my mind. I know that. It keeps me engaged. You can learn a lot about yourself playing bridge, like you do in team sports and whatever. But that event last week was so hard in that we played bridge for 12 hours a day.
That's a long time.
Now, that isn't the fun bridge that I've been playing, you know, on our fishing trips and things like that. But it was a very rewarding experience, and I think we rose to that challenge.
You rose. When you say very rewarding experience, what do you think maybe some of the lessons learned were, or what was the reward for you? What was it that you experienced in that?
Well, my biggest reward is I'm playing with three of my high school buddies.
Okay, that's really
and
cool.
We've maintained connecting these and following relationships. Up. Absolutely. So all these years we've maintained this friendship, and bridge was, you know, a very periphery thing every once in a blue moon. But now we were all there, and we had to rely on each other because this was a team event in Toronto. And I just love that challenge. I mean, when I played baseball, I wanted to be the last guy up in the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, yeah, but who doesn't,
just,
right?
It's just what I wanted.
And hit that home run, right?
Richard, I played with guys that didn't want that.
Oh, really?
They did not want that pressure. They wanted to contribute, and they wanted to be part of our team for sure. But I am sure if you asked everybody on that field, not everybody wants to be up in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. And it's if you don't do it, you've let everybody down at that last moment.
Yeah.
Well, I really wanted to be there. And I felt the same thing when I was playing bridge, which is quite interesting because they're quite different. One's physical and one's more mental.
Yeah, very mental. I mean, you're sitting there for a long time.
But sports and things you do, there's a lot of mental part of that anyways.
Yeah.
It's a lot of mind over matter. And bridge, it's all mind over matter, I'll say.
But you have a very strong sort of competitive bend, wouldn't you say?
Okay.
Nothing wrong with being competitive.
I'm not going to argue with that. Yes, I have that in me, and I don't want that to be a negative thing. I don't want that to create stress in my life that you have to be perfect or that you have to. But there are times when you got to kick it up a notch, and I was fine doing that.
And you were fine doing it, actually doing the edging thing on it. I noticed that you actually wrote a few articles. It was on your website, a couple of blogs. I think it was the Reno experience was one, sharing with your friends lessons learned. Can you share a lesson learned from the Reno experience?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that Jeff and I came to an agreement upon before we went. You can't do anything without stuff going wrong, without there being mistakes, right?
That's life.
So what's the lesson there is that you can't let a mistake impact the future or your next move or whatever else you're going to do, or make you afraid. So we had this agreement, even if you blew one hand totally and cost us some points or whatever, it couldn't impact the next hand. And a couple of times we had to look at each other and say, no, don't do that. It's okay. Move on.
You know what? That's a great life lesson learned, too. This is Richard Landon for Set for Success, and we will return in just a moment with John Hindle and continue to talk about connecting. Hi, it's Richard Landon for Set for Success. And are you set for success in your business, your career, or in your life? And really, what does that all mean? I mean, I guess we all want to try to find that winning formula so that we can be successful in what we do. But, you know, sometimes there's many things where we have lessons learned. And, you know, maybe one of those lessons learned is it's okay to periodically fail and we just need to move on from there. Maybe the other lesson learned is that it's great to connect with people, to actually follow up and create relationships and focus on things of not just being busy, but actually just sort of moving our lives forward and making sure that our relationships continued intact. I guess that's what we're talking about today, and just trying to find those peaks, those valleys, and those detours on the road to our success, and just the things that we need to focus in on and take into consideration when our lives change or whatever's going on in our lives. So we're going to continue our conversation with John Hindle, the contact hitter, when we return, about following up and connecting with people and about just different life transitions. So far, we've been chatting a bit about baseball and about bridge and all the lessons learned there. I suspect there's even more lessons to be learned. We'll also shoot for the Set for Success tips, and we've also already dropped one in about allowing yourself to fail or making a mistake and then moving forward from there. But we'll look to do more of that. This is Richard Landon for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Landon. We're back with John Hindle. Now, if you're just tuning in, we've been chatting a bit about sports, a bit about card games, a bit about life changes. And John, I think one of the things we were talked about just in the first segment was you, about 2 years ago, you had a major heart attack. Could you just sort of tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, the heart attack happened when I was at the cottage, and I was I was mowing the grass, I will say, and all of a sudden I felt something I had never felt before, and I broke out in a sweat that it should be called something else because it was like popping off of my skin, and I knew I was in trouble. And thank goodness my bridge partner Jeff just happened to be at the cottage with me, and he got me into the car and we started driving towards Kenora Hospital. And called 911, and an ambulance met us on the road. And because of that speedy reaction to it, they were able to minimize the damage. This was a massive heart attack. I mean, nobody ever called it a heart attack. When I was in, they flew me overnight. They flew me to St. Boniface Hospital, and nobody ever called it just a heart attack. It was always a massive, huge heart attack. Okay. And I wasn't in a major risk category.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing when that happens?
Well, but nevertheless, I had this attack, right? Well, I know you're the same. Like, I know you had a situation
yourself.
Quadruple
bypass a year ago. Yeah.
And
no heart attack.
So we've been able to talk about things like that and how it's changed us and how it's what's different. And I was telling you before we were on air that when I was driving here, you told me what time you would like me here, and I'm driving, and I turned on to Broadway, and that there was all kinds of construction, and the traffic was, well, beyond slow. And I remember thinking, I'm going to see Richard. Don't get stressed about this. You don't control this. He'll understand if you're a couple of minutes late. That's not something I used to do, Richard.
Yeah.
And because I was coming to see you, it popped into my mind, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that's one example of things that I try not to let things stress me too badly, because even though I think I handled stress pretty well in my life, there was still, you were handling it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I've learned that stress can be a significant part of heart attacks.
Well, I think so. You know, I have to agree with you. It's like, how do you manage your stress? And often you hear courses on better stress management and everything, and yet we're bombarded by so much in our lives. I mean, either just the stuff around us or stuff internally that, I mean, how do you manage that stress? You know, do you find that, since we're on this sort of stress topic, do you find that you're managing your stress better now that you're post-heart attack 2 years later?
Well, I think so. And partly that's I just don't take as many things so seriously anymore.
Yeah.
You have to pick your spots. I mean, there are still things that are critically important to me, But there are things that really, does it matter if this is perfect or does this really cause me a lot of grief? Only if I let it. So if I back off and go sit on the dock and smell the pine trees, I'm a much happier person.
Yeah.
And I don't have as much stress because I do it that way.
Out of curiosity, and I think that's a great answer, by the way, because I've sort of, there's some things that happen that you can't control. Like the stock market, you can't control it, you know? And if I've looked at my retirement time and I'm going, okay, I can't control that now, right? There's just certain things, but there's other things you can manage, right? Mm-hmm. Do you find that in the last couple of years you go through times of fun or happiness and then other times where you've been sad? I'm just curious.
You know, I think at the beginning,
yeah,
I had issues. First of all, physically, you are so in tune with your body after a heart attack.
Oh, it's amazing.
Every little ping or pang that I would have, particularly in my chest area, would freak me out.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I was having things like that before the heart attack, but I can tell you after, I could tell you every single one, how long it lasted and what I did about it, which was worry about it. Mm. Because I didn't want to have another heart attack. So I had to go to my cardiologist. I had to tell him these things. They did the tests and checked things out. And I think as time progresses, you just stop thinking about even that so much. But I have to tell you, I'm not getting those chest pains nearly as often anyway. It used to be a daily event.
Okay.
And now it's very rarely. And when it does happen, I stop and I think, okay, what is that? Is that indigestion? Is that a muscle?
Yeah, it's a muscle.
Because I worked out too hard.
Or, yeah.
Because I'll tell you, probably the biggest difference in my life is that I wake up in the morning and I figure out, how am I going to do some cardio exercise today? It's not, am I going to get around to it? It's, when am I going to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I realize that type of taking care of myself physically is important.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
And hopefully it's going to be okay to ask this on air like this. Do you ever wonder if today is your last day?
I think the answer to that in some ways is every day I might think a little of that.
Yeah.
I do not want things to be left unsaid or actions to be undone. And I don't probably put off as long some things as I used to.
Yeah. How about priorities? In what way have your life priorities changed? By the way, I have to say, I agree with you on the last statement, because every day I wake up, I now say, wow, I'm going to be my best today. I'm going to invest in the success of somebody else, and I'm going to make my journey count. And, you know, it's sort of my little thing.
Can I quote you on that one?
You can. Sorry. But I was asking another question there. Go ahead.
Well, I've forgotten your question now.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, that kind of stuff happens. I interrupted with my own little thing there. I guess I was just asking in terms of just some of the future. Well, just in terms of your life overall now with the heart attack. We were talking a little bit about the managing of the stress and then actually moving forward and what it's like to think today, whether today will be your last day. And you said you leave some stuff undone.
Yeah.
Or make sure you don't leave it undone.
Don't leave it undone. Yes, I do look at things differently. I like to think that I go to different events or something happens, or I plan for something and I'm now living it. And I think, all right, you're still here. You're still hanging in there doing this stuff. That would just have been taken for granted in the past. The very first thing I did after my heart attack, the first thing I planned for was to go to the Pan American Games in Toronto. And I can tell you, I sat there watching a rugby game or a field hockey game. And it wasn't that I was so wrapped up in the game. It was that I was there experiencing and living it.
Yeah, you're glad to be there.
That I do not take for granted.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the question that we sort of missed. Have your priorities changed? This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan, and I've been chatting with John Hindle here, and we're just coming out of a conversation a little bit about what it's like to experience a major heart attack, and coming out of it from 2 years ago, well, that's correct, right, John? It's been mm-hmm. like your 2-year anniversary.
Yes.
One of the questions we were sort of playing around with in the last segment was, in what way have your priorities changed? And I think that was the one we sort of both forgot what we asked, because I brought in sort of a life philosophy thing I've been working with.
Well, I kind of answered that in a way. I focus on, my priority now is my health. And I used to take that for granted. And I don't take it for granted anymore. I know I need to, not just do I need to take my medications,
yeah,
but I need to work on myself. And I see you at the Refit Center every once in a while because I know you're doing that too.
Doing my
best.
You have to
put in that time. So I think about, how am I going to do my cardio exercise? I try to eat better than I used to. Boy, that's a tough one,
Richard. It's really hard.
But I'm sure because I'm thinking about it, I know even if I fall off the wagon a little bit and have that really beautiful piece of chocolate cake, I then make sure I have an extra salad or something like that. So I'm still thinking about it.
You know what my doctor says on that one? He says, I don't care what you eat. I just care where it goes. She's talking about the belly, right? She's talking about the bad fat, right?
Sure thing.
You know,
yeah.
And I agree with you on the eating stuff. And I find so we're sharing some lessons learned, the only way that I can eat healthy is I got to write down what I eat. Hmm. Right. And then I have to audit it. And that's what's worked for me. And I don't think that would work for everybody, but
I think that works. It's effort and work, and you got to be organized and structured and do it, yeah. Which doesn't work for everybody.
No, it doesn't work for everybody, especially,
But it's a good idea. If you can do it and stick with it, then that gives you information. I still do write down how many steps I do in a day.
Oh, right on.
Because I need to make sure that I don't stop that I'm pushing myself to, if I don't have my steps in or whatever, it's just that focus, Richard. If you're putting some focus into taking care of yourself, then you're probably going to do a better job.
Here's another one, too. And since usually in this segment I do the Set for Success tips, but I've been sort of playing around a little bit with this particular show, and we're doing sort of lessons learned and tips throughout, which is really great. I'd like to more share with you, too, because you went through heart attack and it was major, and I went through quadruple bypass surgery, and there was no real indication, right? I mean, they told me I had gas, and turned out that, something else was going on. But I've discovered this last 12 months, I'm seeking to have more fun in my life than I had before. And I think the fun has become a high priority in my life. Enjoyment.
That's certainly a life lesson for everybody.
Yeah.
Because whatever stress you're in, sometimes you can't totally get away from it. And if it is something that's critical and you can't avoid it or ignore it, making sure you have some fun can certainly help the body calm down, I think. And so, yes, I'm right with you. I try to have as much fun as I can now these days.
Some of your interests. Now, I know you're involved in a few organizations in the city, and I know we've thrown around an organization called Mo Mondays that you've been involved in. And I know every time I speak to you, I'm doing this Mo Monday stuff. And you just light up, man. It's like even now you're like this big smiley guy and everything. So tell me about that.
Well, if you ask me in the gold eyes, what was my favorite day? I'd say opening day.
Okay.
Because it's all that work you've done, and then bang, the fans come in and they say, Mo Mondays is just like that to me.
That was like opening day every month.
It's like every Mo Mondays, the show, like you work for 4 or 5, 6 weeks. We create the energy, create the show, and then the fans come in and they watch the show, and they are all there to have a good time. I mean, that's the beauty of things like this, is that it's a positive experience. It's like 4 or 5 people telling a 10-minute story about their life. So it's personal. There's no lectures. It's not like being with a professor at a university. This is people telling real-life stories, which are always interesting to listen to. And some people might be a professional speaker, but some people are just – could be anybody up there on that stage telling a story and the lesson they learned or whatever changed for them. And I just find it so entertaining to watch them. And I stare at some speakers and go, where on earth have you been hiding this story?
Everybody
should hear this story. So I love Mo Mondays. It's just a blast. And we moved to Celebrations Dinner Theater, so we have this great venue and every 6 weeks.
Yeah, and so there's actually, you can actually go and have dinner. I've done a few, so I'll add in on the other side. I think our listeners might be missing a few things. When I say I've done a few, I've been at a few. And a lot of times there's entertainment too. Like there's like music or dance or something like that.
All the time. It's a show and it's fun. There's some audience interaction sometimes.
So
and we need to get you on that stage. You just reminded me that I'm going to talk to you after we're done this.
No problem. Professional speaker, sure. Give me a microphone, away I go. I really love the stuff that you guys are doing with that particular program. Out of curiosity, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, johnhindle.com. get you directly in touch with me. And if you wanted to check out the Mo Mondays, it's momondays.com/Winnipeg.
Yeah. So there you go. There's two good ways to get in touch with you.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for sort of life lessons for our listeners. I'm wondering if you might have like a, I know this is right off the cuff and you weren't prepared. It could be a business lesson either, or a career lesson. What do you think maybe is something you could share with the listeners that you've learned over the last life?
Well, you're going to love this because I'm going to go right back to your opening I heard you say is that it's take care of those relationships in your life.
Okay.
I know, yes, we're all busy. I know I've been there where you can't get to the bottom of the pile on your desk. That doesn't mean you can't take – sometimes we're talking about seconds where you recognize somebody for something they've done for you or for your company, or you've just show them that you know they're there. And – customer service, when I do that training, that connection with your customer at the till even, it only requires a split second of eye contact or some little thing that you say to them to make them recognize you value them. It doesn't have to change all the time. You don't have enough time? I'm sorry. I don't accept that as an answer
for not providing
that type of service or connections.
Yeah, I guess it's sometimes when we're talking about connections and follow-up, I think that's where it sort of started. It is, you know, what are your priorities, right? And what is it that you want to do? And relationships, developing relationships, whether it's with a significant other or a business customer or a family member or your best friend, I mean, that all takes... just depends on what your priorities are, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what my priority is, because you know what I thought of in those last moments I thought of my life.
Yeah.
It was the people. Yeah. So then take care of the people.
Yeah, and so connecting with people. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and welcome back. What a show.